Got a lot of information to cover in a short amount of time, so I'm going to jump right into it. I did want to mention that I am presenting on behalf of our team. That includes Drs. Kimberly Dawn Wisdom, William Conway, Denise White Perkins, and Sharon Milberger, all from Henry Ford Health System. So I'm going to be telling you about our healthcare equity campaign and the efforts we've undertaken to raise awareness among our employees at Henry Ford Health System about the existence of healthcare disparities. So it's kind of a case example about how what we've been doing and moving forward in these efforts. No disclosures. So just to provide you with some background about Henry Ford Health System, we are a not-for-profit corporation that's governed by community leaders. Henry Ford is one of the leading comprehensive integrated health systems, and we are committed to improving the health and well-being of a very diverse community. The site, we're very large. We have 6 hospitals, 25 medical centers, over 23,000 employees, and 3.1 million patient contacts annually. And we serve the Metro Detroit region. We cover 3 counties and part of a 4th. And so I'm going to kind of show you that, how that breaks down in terms of different demographics. So if, I don't know, is anyone here from Michigan? So if you're from Michigan or you know anyone from Michigan, you pull out the mitten when you want to describe where you're from, because we're shaped like a mitten. So southeastern Michigan is kind of the lower part underneath the thumb of our state. So what we have here is different demographics by zip code in the region that we serve. So the first one shows race, and it's very small to read, so I'll kind of describe it for you. The darkest shade of red represents 76% to 99% of the residents in that zip code being non-white, and the lightest shade is 3% to 10% of the residents in that zip code being non-white. Also, there are different plus marks on the map that show where we have our hospitals. Our medical centers are not identified on these maps, but our hospitals are. And as we go through, you'll see that we do have locations within every shade of red on all of the maps. The next one is education by zip code, with the darkest shade of red being 35 to 56% of the residents in that zip code having less than a high school education, and the lightest shade of red is 2 to 10% having less than a high school education. Also, median household income, with the darkest shade of red being 13 to 35,000 annual median household income, and the lightest shade of red is $101,000 to $140,000 median annual household income. And finally, we have health status, with the darkest shade of red representing poor health status and the lightest shade of red representing excellent health status. So as you can see across these maps, we have a very rich diversity in terms of race and ethnicity. We serve a very large population of African Americans, Hispanic and Latino, very large population of Arab Americans, and our fastest growing population is Asian Americans. So we're very diverse in terms of race, ethnicity, and also in education and income. So we see that, but we also see across the map that there's quite a bit of segregation in terms of these different social determinants of health. And so also adds to the need for why we need to be doing work around healthcare equity. So where we're located within our health system at Henry Ford, the Institute on Multicultural Health falls under our Community Health Education and Wellness Department. Our vision at IOMH is to improve the health and quality of life for underrepresented racial and ethnic populations and to eliminate healthcare-related disparities. We do this through a number of mechanisms, including community-based screening and education programs. We have some research projects and now our healthcare equity campaign as well. So let's get into some details of the campaign. The campaign started at the very beginning of 2009, so we're almost 2 years into the campaign, which has been slated for 3 years. The goal of the campaign is to increase knowledge, awareness, and opportunities to ensure that healthcare equity is understood and practiced by Henry Ford providers and other staff, the research community, and the community at large. And also, and this is very key for our campaign, to link healthcare equity as a key and measurable aspect of clinical quality. And I'll talk more about that. Also, before I move forward, I want to distinguish, and we do this with all of the work that we do within the health system, is we distinguish between a health disparity and a health care disparity. And we very intentionally termed this campaign our health care equity campaign, because we do a lot of promotion and awareness of health and health care disparities, but we feel as a health system we're in the best position to affect and eliminate health care disparities. And this really has helped to empower our employees to understand that we have a role in this and we can eliminate health care disparities. So let's talk a little bit about the structure. We do have a steering committee that guides the directions that we take with the campaign. And our honorary chair is our health system president and CEO, Nancy Schlichting. So we're all the way at the top with this campaign. Also, our co-chairs are our senior vice president and chief quality officer, Dr. William Conway, and our vice president of community health, education, and wellness, Dr. Kimberly Dawn Wisdom. Our steering committee is also made up of other leaders within the system. We're very multidisciplinary. We have leaders from various departments, including human resources, quality, community care services. Our medical group is represented, as well as our HMO Health Alliance plan, as well as others. So aside from our steering committee, we also have smaller groups that are involved in this. We have our executive team, which is Dr. Wisdom and a few others, who are responsible for the decision making as we move forward. So the steering committee guides us, and then the decisions are made by our executive team. And then our design team is, again, multidisciplinary from all those different departments I mentioned, and we are responsible for carrying out the activities of the campaign. And we've grown over the 2 years. I think we started with 6 people on our design team, and now we're at about 15. So as we grow and as we take more on in the campaign, we have divided ourselves into work groups to focus better on different areas that we can work on. Finally, we have an ambassador network, and these are employees who have been trained by through our healthcare equity CME and CEU workshop, which I'll talk about also in a moment. So there are 3 phases of the campaign. The first is which I'm going to focus on for today's presentation. It's to raise awareness about health and healthcare disparities as we begin to move towards equity. And the reason this is our first step is that if people are not aware of the existence of healthcare disparities, they're not going to be motivated to do anything about it because they don't realize that there's an issue. So our first step is really to raise that awareness. As we move into phase 2, which we have begun to do, we're looking at implementing the tools and the interventions around cross-cultural communication and collaboration to reduce and eliminate healthcare disparities. And also at that time, we're planning our review of our quality metrics by race, ethnicity, and primary language. This is data we have already been collecting, but we haven't been doing it in the most accurate way. So we do have a race, ethnicity, primary language task force, which is charged with training CSRs, who are our frontline registration staff, on how to ask the question, what is your race, what is your ethnicity, what is your preferred language for treatment services, and also to deal with difficult questions that may arise from our patient population. The final phase is really to integrate these changes into system processes so that they're sustainable over time, even beyond the campaign, and then also to plan for that continual monitoring of quality metrics by race, ethnicity, and language, and also to intervene when disparities are identified. So the other 2 phases I will hopefully talk about more in the future, but today I'm going to focus on what we've been doing to raise awareness. So the first thing that we did to get a baseline in terms of where our employees already were in terms of understanding that healthcare disparities exist is we identified a tool called the Area Survey, which was developed by the Commission to End Healthcare Disparities. And it has 3 domains and 9 total items. The first is around awareness of healthcare disparities. The second is reflection and empowerment on what individuals' role is in addressing disparities. And the final one is action taken to address disparities. And so it was originally developed for clinicians, and we wanted it to be made available to all of our employees, including non-clinicians. So we were able to adapt it and create a second version for non-clinicians as well. So this, again, just provided a baseline for us in terms of our awareness-raising efforts. So basically, we put together a number of presentations, which we have kind of traveled around our entire health system with, and started with our leadership meetings, presenting to all of our boards of trustees, our regional care team forums, our system quality forum, et cetera. Also, our ambassadors have been very engaged in also doing their own presentations to their own departments and their own sites. including, and very, what I love to highlight is our northern region in particular, decided that they want to take this on for themselves, and so they kind of created their own plan for reaching all the employees in their region. We've also been using, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with the documentary Unnatural Causes, to help employees begin to understand social determinants of health and the root causes of health disparities. We often hold these as brown bag lunch showings, and we always include time for reflection and discussion because we have found that if you don't include that extra time, people walk away kind of overwhelmed and not motivated. So we have that discussion piece and action planning so that people feel more empowered when they leave to make a difference. We were able to purchase several copies of the DVD, and we also purchased a streaming license so that it was made available on our intranet site for employees to access and watch the entire documentary. We created our own healthcare equity workshop. It's based on two of the episodes in Unnatural Causes, so the term of the workshop is Unnatural Causes, Stating the Problem and Finding Solutions. It's a full-day workshop where 6.5 CME and CEU credits for physicians, nurses, and social workers, and it is open to all of our employees. Basically, the goals are to increase awareness, again, of racial and ethnic disparities, to engage participants to act as agents of change in their own departments, and then to equip them with tools to do this work. So we do provide them with flash drives that are equipped with all sorts of resources, pre-canned presentations, discussion guides if they choose to show Unnatural Causes. So that's something we provide to them, as well as semi-monthly call-in conference calls where we have a time set aside where everyone can call in who has gone through the training to discuss a certain topic or to work through barriers they've been facing. So at this point, over 7 courses, we've trained about 140 ambassadors in our system. We also have an online course for those who cannot make it to a full-day workshop. This one is just about 30 minutes. Called Healthcare Equity 101, Social Determinants of Health. And finally, we have, again, a multidisciplinary team. So we have great representatives from our communications department, and they've created an internal communications plan where they write articles in our internal newsletters, focus on the healthcare equity campaign and the manager's toolkits that we have, and also several vodcasts, which is something we do on a monthly basis about our healthcare equity campaign from our system CEO. And I had an example here, and I'm going to just skip it for the sake of time. But it is, again, these slides are uploaded on the APHA website, so you should be able to take a look later. So some of the results from our first area survey, we had 691 responses. Just to kind of give you a brief overview of what we found is that half of our employees either strongly agreed or agreed that healthcare disparities exist. So that means half either don't know or they disagree that healthcare disparities exist. So that showed us we have a lot of work to do because that number should be 100% either agreeing or strongly agreeing that healthcare disparities exist. We have achieved 3,387 awareness-raising contact hours. We've been doing this through over 50 presentations last year, 4 workshops, and also different presentations, as I mentioned, to our different regions. And the communication tactics that I mentioned, we've had 2 vodcasts, which achieved 69 hits on our intranet site. We have 43 employees in our employee-only Facebook group, where we have discussions about different topics in the news, share resources and things like that, and lots of new conversations that are happening all across the system. So we've had a lot of impact on other things that are going on within the system, including our Race, Ethnicity, Primary Language Data Collection Task Force. We will be involved in the training of our frontline registration staff to get them ready to ask the questions that we will be asking. We've been partnering with our quality department on their Speak Up, Speak Out campaign and talking about different cultural factors in terms of communication and how that can affect employee relations. And also we have an institutional curriculum for medical residents that now focuses on this topic and other programs as well. So just briefly, some lessons learned is for sure that support from senior leadership is crucial, very important. Also that it's important to identify internal champions. We don't have a lot of staff dedicated to these efforts, so it's really important to find mutual beneficial relationships so that we can find people to really be involved in these efforts, and it's helpful to them as well and not just an added thing that to their agenda of things to do. Also, linking with quality is really important. Equity is one of the 6 aims of quality, and so we really need to jump on the quality bandwagon, which gets a lot of attention, but equity needs to be a part of that discussion as well. Finally, readiness to engage varies across the system. Some are really ready to do this work and others are not. Everyone's at a different stage of change, so it's important to be aware of those stages of change and work with employees where they are. And finally, evaluating progress is key to building a case for this work. If you can't show that there's a need to do it, then sometimes it can get lost in everything else that's going on. So we'll be moving on to phases 2 and 3. And I can talk more about that later if people are interested. Hopefully I'll come back next year and talk about our success in phase 2 and also our community rollout, which is happening this year. And that is all. This was our team at Quality Expo last year with David Satcher, who came to speak. And I just wanted to recognize our great team. So thank you very much.